Если мы воюем со всем блоком НАТО и так двигаемся, продвигаемся, уверенно себя чувствуем, и, значит, это бумажный тигр, что тогда сама НАТО? Она что тогда из себя представляет? И сказать французам: французы, ко мне, сплотитесь вокруг меня, я вас поведу к победе. Как Наполеон. Но вот в этом весь смысл.
Но вы польстили президент Франции-то.
Я с удовольствием это делаю. У нас с ним на самом деле такие рабочие отношения добрые. Но это то, что сейчас происходит, именно то, что вот я вам сказал. Я в этом тоже нисколько не сомневаюсь.
This is my video update on this Friday afternoon, October the 3rd, coming to you from Moscow. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with Putin at Valdai, where he spoke for about 4 hours. He gave a speech at the Valdai event. Then he took questions from the moderator. And then we had a Q&A session where Putin took questions from those in attendance. And I would say that Putin covered a lot of ground. He spoke for 4 hours, so he did cover a lot of topics. And he answered a lot of questions from both the moderator and from those in attendance. But I would also say that during the 4 hours, Putin did not reveal anything groundbreaking or anything new with regards to whether it was the multipolar world or Ukraine or Russia. I would say that the general vibe from Putin was relaxed. No panic. Everything is steady and as stable as it can be given the situation in the world. That's the general vibe that I got from Putin. And all of the questions that he answered them in a very very diplomatic, very relaxed tone. There was no anger. No lashing out at any collective West leaders, which is pretty incredible, pretty impressive when you think about everything that is coming from the West, all of the statements and very aggressive rhetoric that is coming from U.S. President Trump and from leaders in the EU. Putin was very diplomatic and very calm. He was even joking around a lot during the session at Valdai. Restraint is a good way to describe Putin's statements at Valdai. Stability, steadiness, restraint. That was the 4 hours. If I had to summarize it. I'm not going to get to everything that he said during the 4 hours, but I will cover some interesting points that he made. Once again, I don't think he said anything groundbreaking or earth-shattering, but he did say some interesting things. He said some funny things as well. He was poking fun at some world leaders. For example, he was poking fun at Macron. I believe he may have even called Macron little Napoleon, or he wants to be Napoleon or something like that. And the audience laughed. He was basically saying with Macron and the European leaders that they're completely occupied with Russia and it's a distraction. His message to the European leaders was look after your own countries. You guys have so many freaking problems. And you're trying to distract away from dealing with your own problems at home. But leave us alone and deal with your problems at home. That was pretty much the message that he had to European leaders. And that was pretty much the message that he had to Macron. He was poking fun at Macron, saying that that Macron believes everyone's going to follow him and he's this Napoleon-like figure and I'm going to lead everybody to victory. So, yeah, he was poking fun at Macron. He complimented Trump during his speech, during the speech part of his attendance at Valdai. He actually said that the war would not have happened, the Ukraine war, if Trump was president. That's what he said. Probably would not have happened if Trump was president. He actually said that. Given everything that Trump is saying about Putin, all the bad and nasty things that Trump is saying about Putin and the escalation coming from the Trump White House, Putin's response to that was that Trump is pragmatic. He said Trump is a pragmatic leader. He said that he's very comfortable speaking with Trump. In Alaska, the tone was very comfortable. The setting was very comfortable. And he said that Trump listens, unlike previous U.S. presidents, in reference to Biden and I guess Obama and all of these guys. Putin said that Trump actually listens and he's pragmatic. And the war would have never happened if he was president. That is what Putin said, man. Incredible. Incredible. Incredible diplomacy and restraint from the Russian leader. So he was asked about the Tomahawks and President Trump, the United States, possibly green-lighting the Tomahawk missiles to go to Ukraine so they could fire them at Russian energy infrastructure. And Putin's response to that was that some of the Tomahawks, they get through. They might do some damage. They might be effective, he said. But Russia will eventually get on top of the Tomahawks. And he said that they're not going to make any difference in the conflict. And he was saying all of this in a very calm manner. So that was his answer to the Tomahawk question. He was asked about the drones, the drone panic, and he was joking around about that as well. And the joke was the moderator was telling him, you have drones over Denmark and over Germany. And Putin and the moderator were saying, yeah, and pretty soon we're going to have drones over Portugal, or maybe we'll have drones over Portugal as well. So he joked around about that. And he was asked about Trump's comment that Russia is a paper tiger. And his response to that was that that Russia is defeating all of NATO. So if we're a paper tiger, then what is NATO? And he actually said, if NATO believes that we're a paper tiger, then, you know, why don't you deal with the paper tiger, right? If you think we're so weak, why don't you deal with us? But then he said that Russia is not a paper tiger. He said that Russia is probably the strongest, most combat-ready military on the planet. And he said that that Russia continues to advance. And here he got into some detail. He talked about the cities, the towns, and villages that Russia is advancing in on the front line. And he actually revealed some of the areas that the Russian military is going to capture in the next couple of days. He also talked about Ukraine losses over the last month, I want to say, where he revealed that Ukraine suffered 47,000 casualties. I believe it was in the last month, is what Putin said, but I could be wrong about that. But he did mention 47,000 casualties, of which half of those are irretrievable losses. So that was one part of his statements in Valdai where he actually got a bit specific on things. He talked about the multipolar world, of course. He talked about that as well. He said that he supports Trump's plan for Gaza. He got a question about Gaza, and he said that he actually supports Trump's plan for Gaza. That was an interesting statement. I was not expecting that from Putin. But then again, he is being a diplomat about it. And he said that he hopes Trump's plan for Gaza works out. So that was an interesting response. He was also asked about Tony Blair and his involvement in Trump's plan. And Putin was also very diplomatic about his response about Tony Blair. He said that he's met Tony Blair. I believe he said he had coffee with Tony Blair at 10 Downing Street or something along those lines. And he didn't say anything bad about Tony Blair. Everyone's waiting for him to bash Tony Blair, right? And he didn't. He didn't bash him. He said he's a skilled diplomat, and he kind of left it there, right? You could tell that Putin is, at least the impression that I got was that Putin doesn't like Blair, but always the diplomat, always the statesman. He did not want to say anything bad about Blair. And I don't think he wanted to say anything bad about Trump or Trump's plan for Gaza or the Middle East. He took the high road. You know, I think Larry Johnson, in his article on Sonar 21, actually said as much. I think he used the words that Putin was very diplomatic, and as he was answering all of the questions, he took the high road. He wasn't baited into. He didn't take the bait to lash it at any world leaders in the collective West or say anything bad about any of the leaders in the collective West, especially Trump. That was Putin yesterday. That was how he approached the questions that he got and the Q&A with diplomacy. So I'm trying to think if he said anything else. Did I mention that he sent his condolences to Charlie Kirk's family? So he was asked about Charlie Kirk, and he said it was a horrific assassination. And he said that it does show that there are rifts in society in the United States, the fact that Charlie Kirk was assassinated in such a manner. And he said that he sends his condolences to the family of Charlie Kirk. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I should mention from Valdai. Once again, 4 hours. There's no need to try and get into everything that Putin said. I would need to do a 4-hour video for that. And I don't think my arm would last that long holding up the camera. He was asked about the seizing of the Russian allegedly the Russian shadow tanker, right? So what did Macron do yesterday? What did little Napoleon do yesterday in order to try and stick it to Putin, knowing that, you know, Putin's going to be speaking at the Valdai? Macron decided to seize a Russian shadow fleet tanker, whatever it's freaking called. Anyway, he had the French authorities seize the ship. I believe it was seized maybe yesterday or a couple of days before, but yesterday the news came out that the ship was seized. And the story that Macron and the French were putting out there was that this shadow fleet tanker may have been used to launch the drones into Europe, right? To launch the drones over Denmark and stuff like that. And Putin was asked about the Russian tanker, the French seizing the Russian shadow fleet tanker. And Putin's response to that was it's piracy, right? These people are pirates. And he said, you know what we do with pirates, right? that was a smart statement. He's like, you know what we do with pirates, right? But then he also said, we're not going to get into a world war for this, right? This is not going to lead to World War III, the fact that France has decided to seize a tanker. By the way, from my understanding of things, the tanker has been released, right? Valdai ends, and they release the tanker. So I think we see what Macron was trying to do. What a child, Macron, huh? What a freaking child. He wanted to stick it to Putin during his Valdai event. He talked about Germany, rearmament. That was during the speech portion of Valdai. And he basically sent a message to Germany that we are watching you. Every breath you take, every move you make, we are watching you. That was his message to Germany. One second. We are watching carefully the growing militarization of Europe. Are these just words, or is it time for us to take countermeasures? Yeah, man. We're watching you, Merz, BlackRock, Merz. What else? What else did he say? He said that the European Union is becoming increasingly authoritarian, right? Like the Soviet Union. They ban everything. The increasingly trusted political opposition. They did the same in the USSR. It's unsustainable. I believe during that that part of the speech, he actually mentions Romania. And I know he mentioned Romania during his statements at Valdai, and how the European Union is banning opposition and is becoming authoritarian. So that was an interesting statement from Putin. He talked about Finland and Stubb playing golf with Trump. He said Donald says that Stubb plays golf well, but that's not enough. Okay. He also said that that we were told from Finland that they would not allow the appearance of nuclear weapons, but who knows? Who will ask them? The Finns. They'll just put them there. So what? So he said that as well about Finland. He's right about that. If and when NATO decides they want to move more weapons into Finland, they're not going to ask the Finns, are they? No, they're just going to put them there, right? French people, come to me, unite around me. I will lead you to victory, like Napoleon. Putin parodies Macron. That was a good part. That was a good part of the event. He also talked about the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, the strikes from Ukraine. So what's happening in Zaporizhzhia is that the Ukraine military is in big trouble in the direction of Zaporizhzhia, and they're unable to stabilize that part of the front line, and it's about to turn into a rout, into a catastrophe. What's happening in Zaporizhzhia? So what Zelensky is doing is he is trying to hit the ZNPP, right? He sees that as the only way to somehow save the Zaporizhzhia front for Ukraine. So he's trying to knock out the nuclear power plant in Zaporizhzhia. And Putin's response to that was that people on the other side should understand that they have a functioning nuclear power plant. What prevents Russia from responding in kind? Let them think about it. Yeah, let that sink in. You're trying to destroy the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant. Well, you guys also have nuclear power plants. That was Putin's reply to what's going on in Zaporizhzhia, to the catastrophic deteriorating situation for the Ukraine military in Zaporizhzhia. Putin read from Pushkin. That was an interesting part to the Q&A. And that's pretty much most of the main points. I think I covered most of the main points from his attendance at Valdai. He blasted the liberal world order. They sit on the top of the food chain and they're giving orders. The rules are as follows. We think for you and give you orders, and you may get a benefit, he said. No problems were resolved with the liberal world order, Putin said. Only more problems appeared. So he talked about that as well. And yeah, that was Putin at Valdai. So we are getting reports that the Tomahawks that Trump is trying to send to Ukraine, according to Reuters, that's not going to happen. That looks very unlikely, according to Reuters. So Reuters put out an article, let me pull it up, with the title, U.S. Tomahawk missile shipments to Ukraine unlikely sources say. Current inventories are committed to the U.S. Navy and other uses, a U.S. official and three sources said. So you aren't producing enough missiles, says Aydin, the ex-account of Aydin. Okay, yeah, true. A revelation that the Tomahawks are not going to be effective, and the problems with the launching of the Tomahawk missiles is not going to be easy to solve. So it looks like the Tomahawks are not going to be sent to Ukraine. So you have the Barracudas, which are not even in mass production, a new missile, which may be sent to Ukraine, and you have the Taurus missiles. And, you know, Alexander made an interesting point in his video update yesterday, and I agree with him. I think he may be onto something. Perhaps the whole talk about Tomahawks and the talk about the new Barracuda is more Trump foreign policy trickery to distract away from the appearance of Taurus missiles. Ukraine launching Taurus missiles into Russia with the intel. Now we know with the intel and the targeting of the United States, getting the energy targets to Ukraine. It could be the Taurus missile that is going to hit the energy infrastructure in Russia. So we know that the Trump White House is now going to give all the targets to Ukraine deep inside of Russia, all of the energy facilities that are going to be hit by missiles. So we know that now. That was announced yesterday, 2 days ago. That's going to happen. The Tomahawk missiles are not going to, it looks like they're not going to be sent to Ukraine. The Barracuda is the new missile. They might want to test it out. I can definitely see the Trump administration and the MIC telling Trump, let's test the Barracuda. So I can see them doing that. But perhaps it is, as Alexander says, and maybe it's a distraction so that the Taurus can make its appearance, right? You had the Sapsan missile, which was a Taurus, a rebranded Taurus missile that Russia destroyed. But Germany has a lot of Taurus missiles, from my understanding of things. They wanted to give around 500, was my understanding, either 300 or 500, if I remember correctly, Taurus missiles to Ukraine. So not a huge number, but not you know, five or six Tomahawk missiles, right? Or the new Barracuda missile, which isn't even in mass production. So it would fall in line with Trump's deceptive trickery foreign policy way of doing things, right? You talk up the Tomahawk, you talk about testing the Barracuda, but at the end of the day, what do you end up doing? You end up putting it on Europe, right? You give the green light for Taurus missiles because the U.S. has to give the green light because the Taurus missile has U.S. components. And at the end of the day, it's going to be U.S. Targeting and U.S. intel. And you tell Mertz, okay, go ahead. And then you can blame everything on Europe if they're ineffective. And if things don't go well, you can put all the blame on Germany. And if things go well, then if you're Trump, then you can take the credit for it. It falls perfectly in line with how the Trump administration operates when it comes to foreign policy and these types of things. So we'll see. We'll see what the long-range missiles are going to be. No doubt that there will be long-range missile strikes with the U.S. Intel. That's going to happen. I guess now we're at the point where we're trying to figure out what is going to be the missile that is going to be used. So the Zelensky regime, according to the Telegraph, they're in a panic over the U.S. government shutdown because they're afraid that the shutdown is going to prevent the Trump administration from giving weapons to Project Ukraine. I'm sorry, did I say giving weapons? Selling weapons. They sell weapons to Project Ukraine. Oh, no, they don't sell weapons to Project Ukraine. They sell weapons to NATO, and then NATO does whatever it wants to do with those weapons, right? I like it. I like it. I give the weapons to NATO, and NATO does whatever they want. I sell the weapons to NATO. They do whatever they want, right? They're not giving the weapons to Zelensky. They're selling them to NATO, the Trump administration, and then NATO does what it wants to do. So yeah, Zelensky is afraid that that the U.S. shutdown will delay weapons shipments. So that's the panic from Zelensky with regards to the U.S. government shutdown. For some reason, I think that that if I had to take a guess, I would say to Zelensky, don't worry about the MIC when it comes to U.S. government shutdown. The military-industrial complex will be exempt from any government shutdowns. If I had to take a guess, that would be my guess. Anyway, I talked about the tanker, the French tanker, the drone wall. Have I talked about the drone wall? No. Bloomberg is saying that the drone wall was a PR stunt, a complete PR stunt. From Ursula, and Politico put out an article saying that Ursula's drone wall plan crashes into EU reality. Yeah, so they met in Copenhagen. Ursula tried to push her drone wall, and it completely failed. A lot of questions were being asked, such as who's going to operate this drone wall? what is this drone wall? The most basic question that was asked was what exactly is this drone wall, right? What is this thing going to do? Who's going to operate it? Who's going to pay for it? And how does this affect commercial flights and stuff like that? And Ursula didn't have the answers, but it sounds nice. A drone wall sounds good, huh? We'll build a drone wall and we're going to spend 6 billion euros on it. I think that Ursula messed up in that as she was putting together the fund, the 6 billion euro fund to allocate to the drone wall, she didn't include people like Macron and Mertz and Pistorius in on the action. And I think that's where she messed up, right? It's not about a real drone wall. I don't think they really care about having a real functioning drone wall. It's about the 6 billion fund, the 6 billion euros that are going to be spent to build this drone wall, right? And I think that Ursula, she didn't cut in the big players in Germany and France. She didn't cut them in on the action for this 6 billion euro fund for the drone wall, and it looks like they shut it down. So yeah, that's what's going on with the drone wall. By the way, since we're on the topic of drones, Bild is reporting that three Germans have been arrested after the drone incident over Germany. So it looks like the drones that were over Germany the other day had nothing to do with Russia. Looks like these were Germans that were flying the drones over Germany that caused a panic. I wonder if it was Gilligan and the skipper flying the drones. Gilligan, Ginger, Marianne, fly those drones. Oh boy. Le Monde is reporting that the EU leaders in Copenhagen admitted that that the loan to Ukraine, the 140 billion that the EU is pushing to approve, is never going to be paid back by Zelensky. So we had officials telling Le Monde, yeah, the money that's going to go to Zelensky in this reparations loan is never going to be paid back, and we know it. So there's the admission there. That's what it's all about. That's the plan. It's not about Ukraine paying back the money. They don't want Ukraine to pay back the money. The plan is to steal the 140 billion. Throw it into the black hole that is Zelensky, and there you have it. There is no payback of the loan. Why would you pay it back? Why pay it back? It's about disappearing the money, not paying the money back. So that was what Le Monde is saying. At this stage, many questions remain as to whether this arrangement is stable, a European diplomat told Le Monde after the talks. We know very well that Kiev will never repay this loan. They're not supposed to repay the loan. it's supposed to disappear. The money is supposed to disappear. That's what this is all about. IOUs. It'll be replaced by IOUs. Yeah, so we had that admission as well. We also had the admission from the Financial Times the other day that that the Patriot air defense system is ineffective in shooting down Russian missiles. The Financial Times admitted that as well. And the way they're covering it up is that they're saying that that the Russian military made some modifications to their missiles. And that's why the Patriots have proven ineffective. And they basically revealed that the numbers that the Ukraine military, that Alensky puts out there as far as the success of the Patriot air defense systems is just bogus numbers. You know, 100 missiles were fired and Alensky shot down 110 missiles and drones. Financial Times said that Alensky's numbers are all, they're just false. So they revealed that as well. So, yeah, so much for the Patriot air defense system. There was a big drone strike actually yesterday into the center of Ukraine, the central part of Ukraine, as well as Odessa, Dnipropetrovsk, Poltava, I believe Kiev as well. And this actually caused some blackouts. They were hitting, the Russian military was hitting the energy infrastructure in the central part of Ukraine. I believe about 300 drones and then some missiles were launched. I don't know if I have any exact details bookmarked. Odessa, Kharkov region, Poltava, energy infrastructure strikes. Very close to causing a massive blackout, from my understanding of things, but not quite there. The Russian military decided to not go all the way and cause a big, massive blackout. But they did a lot of damage to the energy infrastructure in this in these areas. So let's shift gears and talk about Venezuela, because something is going to happen in Venezuela very soon. According to the New York Times, the Trump White House, they told Congress that the U.S. is now in a war with drug cartels. They have designated the drug cartels, the people in the ships that were blown up, they have been designated as combatants, unlawful combatants, according to the New York Times. This is what the Trump White House told Congress, and that's how they are justifying the killing of the people on the ships. The Trump White House is basically saying that they are at war with the drug cartels, and therefore they can go after the people on board these ships because they are combatants. And they can annihilate the people on these ships as combatants. So things are getting hot with Venezuela, and the Washington Examiner, they are reporting that the U.S. military is pretty much in place to begin some sort of an operation. And according to the Examiner, the operation will be about seizing certain infrastructure in Venezuela, ports and stuff like that. And that's going to be the first part of the military operation. Military planners believe the assembled forces are now sufficient to seize and hold key strategic facilities such as ports and airfields, on Venezuelan territory. The Washington Examiner is withholding some details for national security reasons. U.S. control over such locations would allow for the increased sustained projection of U.S. military power into Venezuela from defensible positions. So that's the update on Venezuela. It's going to happen. It's going to happen from the peace president, the Nobel Prize peace president. Any day now, you're going to get some sort of a big U.S. military operation in Venezuela. The end goal, to remove Maduro. And Trump was speaking to OAN, and he talked about how he should be getting the Nobel Peace Prize. He wants that Nobel Peace Prize really, really bad. He really, really, really wants that Nobel Peace Prize. I want that Nobel Peace Prize. I want it. Yeah, he said that he has solved 7 wars. And he said it could be 8 if he can solve the Middle East, where they have been fighting for 3,000 years, Trump said. But that could be a cross. It's a cross. He said that that could be the 8th war that he solves. He said he's going to solve the conflict in Ukraine as well, but that's a tough one. He said that's a difficult one, but he's going to solve that one as well. He's going to take care of it somehow. He said we'll get Russia taken care of somehow. That's what he said. We'll get Russia taken care of somehow. So yeah, eight wars, and we're going to get Russia taken care of, is what he said. And he should get the Nobel Peace Prize. He should get it. Nobody's done what I've done, he said. Nobody. It's true. True. Nobody is doing what you're doing. That's true. So let's do a clown world. And since we're talking about the Nobel Peace Prize and all the wars that Trump has solved or is solving, we can talk about what happened in Copenhagen as European leaders were meeting. And the leader of Albania, what's the dude's name? Edi Rama, Albania's leader. He was making fun of Trump, and he approached Macron and Aliyev, and he told them, hey, the war between Albania and Azerbaijan. And then Macron started mocking Trump, and they were just all basically trolling Trump over the comment that he made. Many times he made the comment about how he solved the war between Albania and Azerbaijan and Albania and Azerbaijan. And so basically the Albanian leader, Macron, and the leader of Azerbaijan, Aliyev, they were taking a piss at Trump, as they say in the UK. Am I saying that right? Taking a piss? Yeah, I think I'm saying that right. Anyway, I'll play the video in a minute. The leader from Albania said, you should make an apology to us because you didn't congratulate us on the peace deal with President Trump made between Albania and Azerbaijan. That's what Rami said to Macron and Aliyev. And Macron said, I'm sorry for that. Joking around and laughing. And these are the guys, these are the people that Trump is aligned with. They're mocking him. But Trump has aligned himself with these very people. Anyway, that is the video. I'll play. Let me play the interaction between Albania, France, Macron, and Azerbaijan.
You should make an apology to us. Because you didn't congratulate us on the peace deal that President Trump made between Albania and Azerbaijan.
I'm sorry for that.
Yeah. So, and you worked very hard.
All right, that is the video, the Duran.locals.com. We are on X, we are on Rumble, we are on Telegram. Go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch like what I'm wearing in this video update. There is a link in the description box down below. Take care.